Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Robert L. Dillenschneider is our good friend and our guest this half hour. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Bob is the founder of a corporate strategic counseling and public relations firm called the Dillenschneider Group. He's the author of many bestsellers, including The Critical 14 Years of Your Professional Life. He's the author of Moses CEO. He's the author of the new book, 50 Plus, which is every time I look at it and spend some time in it, it's becoming one of my favorites. He's our good friend. Bob Dillenschneider, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's great to be back on the show. Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners. Thanks very much for having me on.
You too. It's always a pleasure and to have you here. Bob, you're one of the best thinkers in our Brain Trust. You've got an incredible mind. You have a worldview of things. One of the things that I like about you is you work in so many different industries. You support so many different industries in what you do. You have a rare perspective on the world and on the marketplace, and I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit this morning about what it's going to take for earthlings to make the 21st century a great century. Where would you start?
Well, I think that's a big question, a big challenge. I think that right now we have taken Saddam. We still have to deal with the terrorists. The economy has started to turn around. I'm talking about the United States right now. We've got to figure out a way to create more jobs, and small business is the key to that. But I think what we really have to do is take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, here's what matters in our life. It's not necessarily material gain, because I think if we go for material gain, we won't really be successful. It's not necessarily success and pride and aggrandizement and publicity, because if we go for that, we aren't really going to be successful. What really counts is our inner self. It's getting our inner self right. And if we can get our inner self right and feel at peace with one another and give back to one another, give to charity, that's something all of us are going to do over the holiday period, I know, then I think our mindset will be where it is to create jobs, jumpstart this economy, create a better education for our kids, and set a shining example for people all around the world.
Well said, Bob, and I agree with you, but what do you think is the best deliverer of that message? And, you know, we've tried it with religion, which has helped. We've tried it with exporting democracy, which may have helped. I don't know. But don't you think that giving people the ability to have liberty, don't call it democracy if you don't want to. If that's a word that inflames some people, because a lot of times democracy is seen as American type democracy, and maybe American type democracy doesn't export as well as maybe we'd like for it to. But liberty, giving people liberty, the ability to start businesses, to work for whoever they want to go wherever they want to, isn't that going to really be the thing that we need to do to export peace around the world?
There's nothing like freedom, and freedom which gives people the chance to do exactly what you just described, Jim, and build businesses, build jobs, build new products, build new services that people need, and have that seen by people all over the world as we build bridges to people all over the world is going to be really critical. And I think the Bush administration has got to, and I think they will, open up the opportunities to do just that.
Do you see with the capture of Saddam now and him officially neutralized in the minds, figuratively and literally now, and the recent news with Gaddafi in Libya, do you see there being a little, maybe hopefully, a kind of a domino effect where these people, these tyrants and some paper tigers and some mentally deranged people sometimes, like the guy in North Korea, I'm convinced, is not well. He's not just a despot, he's not well. But do you see this there being the possibility of a domino effect that would move towards the kinds of world that we'd like to see?
Well, I sure hope that takes place, Jim. I'm a great believer in time and trust. Gaddafi has been opposed to us in Libya for so many years. This turnaround, which I applaud, the diplomatic turnaround, I think is terrific.
A multilateral diplomatic effort, too, by the way.
Let's just give him some time and make sure it sinks in. Mm-hmm. We still got this fellow down in Cuba, this guy named Castro. We've still got the Colombian rebels. You pointed out the fellow in North Korea. There are people in Pakistan. I think the situation inside the former Russian republics is pretty draconian. There are a lot of things, I think, that have to be gotten right. And I think it's going to take a lot of time to get there. I don't think people around the world necessarily, with all respect to them, embrace the same kinds of ideals and passions and views that Americans embrace, fundamentally because they're not free. The other day I was talking to the editor of the Wall Street Journal, and he said, look on the front page of the paper. I said, well, all I can see is greed, graft, and corruption. He said, the good news is we're reporting it here, and we're resolving it here. Mm-hmm. In other countries around the world, that doesn't happen.
We have
still deals under the table.
We shine sunlight on the things around here, don't we?
It's very important to do. It's one of the things your show does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with you. But, you know, Bob, call me romantic. Call me naive if you want to. But I really believe that Iraq could become an experiment, that if we can cultivate it, if we can nurture it and allow liberty and entrepreneurialism to germinate in that country, where those people are very literate and they've got wealth, their nation can be wealthy. If we can create an experiment there, you know, maybe on the 21st century level of what happened in this nation 200 and something years ago, don't you think that could be an incredible example for countries like Indonesia and for Pakistan and North Korea?
It would be thrilling. And, of course, we all know that the culture, the long, deep, rich culture in the Islamic world is incredible. They have writers, they have artists,
yes,
they have cooks and everybody else that really are quite phenomenal. So if we could unlock that talent, and if we could start in Iraq, I'm all for it. I'm just a great believer in taking things one step at a time.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned the people of Islam. I have many friends in Islam. I know you do too. There are 1.2 billion Muslims around the world, the largest of any organized group. And you know, Bob, the ones that I know are very gentle, very sweet, very passive people.
Jim, we did a study less than 6 months ago, and the 1.2 billion Muslims around the world want the same as the 1.2 billion Christians.
Yeah.
They want a better life. They want better hygiene. They want better education for their kids, better opportunity. None of us are really different. It's the nutcases we have to worry about.
Yeah, it's the Islamists. It's the fanatics, and there's no question about it. And we can number them, you know, on not that many hands. We just need to find a way to neutralize those guys. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Bob to turn his attention to the United States, because I know he has some great ideas that we can all focus on and to help make our world and this world a better place. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And they said you were going to put me on a shelf.
Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Robert L. Dillon Schneider. Let me spell his last name for you, because I know you're going to want to go to your local bookstore or to one of the online bookstores, and you're going to want to find out about him. And if you're looking for his books, you can ask for him by name. The last name is spelled D-I-L-E-N, Dillon Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. And so Robert L., the book that you want to look for is 50 Plus, and as well as the one just before that, Lessons in Leadership. The book is called Moses CEO. Bob has written so many books. Bob, any particular place you'd like to send us for the books?
Well, the one thing I'd like to say is I hope people will keep alert to next April when I've got a book coming out on heroes, American heroes, and people who have done things around the world in this country that really we should emulate as we intend to build the country for the 21st century.
I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you're planning on launching that on the show.
I'd be thrilled to be on the show to talk about it. I really would.
We'll launch it on the show. That'll be in April, huh?
It'll be in April, right.
Okay, good. I'm looking forward to that. Bob, let's turn our attention to the United States. What do Americans need to do to help make the 21st century a great century?
It's really very simple. It's a great question, too. What we have to do is create jobs. That's what made the latter part of the 20th century what it was. We created a phenomenal number of jobs, and the jobs created opportunity, and the opportunity created new products and new services and a better way of life and a higher standard of living. So it all gets back to creating jobs, and that's going to come from a lot of the people who are listening to this show, from small business people throughout the United States. That's where it's going to come from.
Bob, between 1992 and 1997, the American economy created 12 million jobs.
Right.
And 12 million net new jobs.
Right.
And during that same five-year period, big business, as it's defined, had a dearth of 500,000 jobs. They had a net loss of 500,000 jobs. So, therefore, you know who created all of the 12 million jobs in that five-year period.
All coming from small business. It's a lot like my business. I've got 70 people in my company. We're going to hire three or four people in the next 2 months.
Good for
you. That's where that job creation is coming from.
Yep. We're going to do our part. We're going to be hiring at least one in the next 30 days. And we're going to be getting a report from one of our business posters, small business posters, Bill Dunkelberg, in just a few minutes, in the next half hour, who posts small business. And hiring is improving in the sector. But Bob, don't we have to – you mentioned greed a minute ago. Are you concerned that's something that has become too pervasive in our society and in our marketplace?
I'm not really that concerned about it. I think there are a few people who are greedy, but I think that thanks to some of the high-profile problems that are now in the courts, we're beginning to see those greedy people get theirs. And I think that a return to fundamental American values is what's really taking place in this country. I see it when I talk to priests and to rabbis and to ministers and to deacons. They all say more people are coming back to church, and I think that's a good thing.
It is, Bob. And, you know, the small business owners out there I'm so proud of the ethics that they practice. And, of course, it's like any other sector. They're good guys and bad guys. But basically, you know, there could be 25 million of us doing the right thing and nobody would know about it. We're not on the radar screen like the big guys are. And don't we need more of those guys to stand up and to show their ethics, to wear their ethics out there a little bit more and to be a little more outspoken against those who are not ethical?
We really do. And I think that, again, people can do that in many, many different ways. I've always operated on the basis that your word is your bond. If you tell me you're going to do something, I know you're going to do it, and I do the same thing for other people. I don't need a law agreement. I don't need some big, thick mm-hmm. document that says my word is my bond. I'll be there. And I think that example set by small business people again and again and again is the way to do this, and a way to do it, frankly, for our children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think our kids have to get this message.
Well, exactly. And what are your thoughts on that? I know you've written about this topic before. What can we do to and you know, when you say kids, you're not just talking about your blood kin. You're talking about I know you're talking about those around us, the ones that we mentor to.
I'm talking about the tens of millions of kids throughout the United States who are going to be the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And we all owe them an obligation to teach them the best we possibly can in terms of ethics, in terms of how to do things, in terms of how to create businesses, in terms of how to think about products and services and how we generate more value for the economy. We have created a great, unbelievable society in America, and we owe it to our kids and to ourselves to try to demonstrate how that was done and how it should be continued in the 21st century.
Well, and another thing that we have to do, Bob, along those lines, is we have to not only talk about these things and have these kinds of dialogue, this kind of a dialogue with the younger generations, but when they have to catch us doing these things, don't they? I mean, it's important that they catch us doing the right things.
The best thing that could happen is for a young man or woman to see his mom or dad or his uncle or his aunt or somebody else doing the right thing, standing up for what is right,
mm-hmm.
Capturing ethics in a proper way. That person will then follow that and do the same thing.
Many of my mentors, Bob, never knew that they were my mentors. I was just watching them, and we need to realize that somebody's always watching us, don't we?
24/7, Jim. They're always there, and thank God that Santa Claus is watching us. I hope you have a great Christmas and a good New Year.
Thank you, Bob. I hope you do, too. Bob Dillenschneider, ladies and gentlemen. Robert L. Dillenschneider, the author of 50 Plus. Check out his books wherever books are sold. Whatever he does, whatever he offers, is always the best. Quick break. I'll be right back 29 after. Stay with me. The show is brought to you by...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.